This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Never gave mom a good Mother's Day.
Mom! Mommy! Mama! Ma! Mom!
Mom called and told me to give you a hug before your colonoscopy.
Don't talk dirty. What does mama say about little boys who talk dirty?
Kids are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down.
Mom, do you ever feel not so fresh down there?
No. There must be something wrong with that? You.
Really?
Maybe someday I could buy my mom those implants that she always wanted.
Things are different today. I hear every mother say,
things are different.
Cooking fresh food for her husband's just a drag.
Got a huge king bed. It'll be nice to have a buffer between me and my mom.
Mom, I can't clean. I got stuff to do.
That's right. So, Valerie, let me run by you. Since it's a Hallmark holiday, I mean, Mother's Day really is.
Mm-hmm.
Top rejected cards, some of them. Since I'm not sure which restroom you use now, I'm also sending you a Father's Day card.
Mom, that's, your upper lip needs some waxing.
Right?
I don't know.
Mom, you raised me to be a proud Bernie supporter that I am today. Do you have a few hundred bucks to spare?
Ah!
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, let's see here. This isn't to make you feel bad, but do you think you could tell me the name of my dad?
Oh,
that's just not right. Yeah. Well, this doesn't fit me, but our relationship is stronger than ever, probably because I still live in your basement, which is where I'm going.
To your mother's basement?
Yes.
Oh,
on the
you're
red
a
eye
good
tonight.
Son.
I know.
You're
on the red eye tonight. Yeah.
Button.
I know.
Gold star.
For
button.
Mother's Day. So I have to do the Mother's Day dinner thing at the restaurant and everything, the biggest restaurant day of the year, which I guess it'll be fun because my family will be there. But
now, and you're in
traditionally,
Pennsylvania, right?
Yes.
Is it small town, big town?
Yes, small town.
Okay. So is it going to be like a chain restaurant or
no,
a little local?
No, we're not going to Macaroni Grill.
Okay.
Because there is a Macaroni Grill and they line up around the block to get in it.
Okay.
No,
so
going to a private place.
Okay. I mean, so local, you know, local fare,
yes.
Good local establishment.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be special.
Let's
talk about crying babies. Can you play the crying babies? Do we have crying babies?
We have crying babies.
Crying babies. Oh, now, ladies, don't start lactating. Now, I am. I feel it.
I'm going to get you a training bra.
I'm checking to see if I am. All right, crying babies during flying. Where are you with that? 808-0810. You heard the story. I don't have any children, so I don't know if I get to have a point of view, but of course I have one. I mean, who hasn't had a crying baby on an airplane? Are you sympathetic? Or do you try to move? Those days are gone because there was the thought and Chip was saying, well, it's people like you who are whiners. Now, I'm not whiners, but I tell you what, I'm not a whiner about this. If it happens, it happens. As a matter of fact, I always think if I'm going to be stuck with the baby, I feel better if I'm in the row with the baby. Because at least I'm attuned to it and can be sympathetic with the mother. Now,
okay,
yeah, does that make any sense?
So the further you are from the baby, you're the more grumpy you are.
No. I don't want to be in front of the baby with it screaming in my head and kicking the back of the seat and playing
but
with the tray table.
But if you're sitting next to it,
next
it's not
to
as
it,
bad?
It's not bad. I don't
because
know why
you can make faces. And...
No, just because you can kind of sympathize. I don't. Is that weird?
But I don't know. I try and be as sympathetic as possible because I've never had to deal with it. I wouldn't want to. That it doesn't make for a pleasant flight. It just really everybody's patience gets really challenged. And for those who are like not about the children, that's their hell.
Okay. So my problem is with the parents who don't take care of their children and let them run around. Like these are the parents who do the same thing at restaurants. Let their kids run around. You know, up and down the aisles, these same, you know, at the restaurants, mm-hmm. they're crying, they're screaming. So they let them loose to run around and talk to the other patrons of the restaurant.
I understand if it's an infant. I mean, the ears are really sensitive. The cabin pressure changes.
Yeah.
I get it.
But they were floating for a long time the idea of having a family section. That would make it more comfortable for the parents and for the other people who fly.
Yeah.
Look, they charge you for everything now, you know, not only to put your carry-on luggage up there, or now they're actually charging you not to sit in the middle seat, a lot of airlines are.
Why?
Yeah, that's a start. Because who wants to be leg stuck room. In the middle seat?
Oh, and I get paid for not sitting?
No. You have to pay extra. Just a few airlines.
Preferred seating.
Right, preferred seating. So you pay a little extra not to have the center seat.
Well, what was it Ron Vi was telling us about when he was an airline steward about
flight
a baby?
Attendant.
That's what it is, flight attendant. Thank you. Someone putting their child in the bin above.
Right, yeah. From Mexico.
Yeah. It's just while they were getting settled, but still, it was like, no.
Well, no.
That's not where babies go.
Trying to get the free seat. But, you know, I, again, this was floated before, and since everything is broken up, I don't know, people are partial. Would it work better for you if there was a family section?
Whether you're
the flyer or you're the parent, 808-0810.
You know, they do that for movies now. They have like family-friendly movies where there's like a baby room with its own little glass.
That's nice.
So, you know, your babies are going to cry and fuss and what have you.
Right.
But
and so just in time for Mother's Day, JetBlue released a video that makes those flying without kids a little more patient than those who are. At least what they say, until I saw the video and then I wasn't buying it. So they had lots of babies on the flight, and every time a baby cried, you would get a 25% discount on a future fare, okay? So four cries meant free flight. So instead of the nasty looks that parents often get on board, the passengers smiled at the crying babies and their moms. So this press release and this story goes. I saw the video. There were still a lot of people like, okay, you got your four cries. Let's bring it down a notch. It was a coast-to-coast flight, too.
And this the credits are for the other passengers or for the...
Yes.
Okay.
Originally,
that makes sense.
Originally, I thought it was only for the parents and the
baby. I know. I'm like, they're going to be sticking needles in the side of their kid to get a free flight.
Yes.
Like, people will do that.
They're going to be tossing their Xanax bottles at these kids, if that were the case. That's originally what I did think, by the way. But then I looked at the video. I thought, I need to see this. Sure enough, they showed the crying babies, but as the video continued, you could see a lot of people that were saying to themselves, I'm just reading their minds, okay, we got it. Enough. Make it stop.
Right.
Get me the hell out of this aluminum tube.
What makes you think I'm going to fly with you again, even if you give me a free voucher?
How did this happen? Give me my voucher. Let me out. Did you see the video? Because there's lots of screaming kids on there.
I did see it. And it was, cute babies. But when they're screaming, it hurts my ears so much.
I know.
And I think maybe they encourage having babies throughout the flights to up the alcohol sales.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing. Drinking on planes. With all these people misbehaving lately, I think they're kind of sort of clamping down on that, watching how much you drink.
Well, I think they've
always... You need to be careful with the pregame show.
Yeah.
That used to be the way to do it.
Yeah, you pre-funk.
Right. But a lot of people don't understand if you pregame, then you really have to behave yourself and just keep your mouth shut and get on the airplane.
Yeah.
I don't like to drink on airplanes. I never have. 808-0810. We're talking about flying. So I'm taking the red eye to Chicago tonight.
So what's your strategy?
I have the
Sit next to the baby?
I have the Bose noise-canceling headphones.
Oh, okay.
There's an app on my iPhone that plays white noise. and then I have the sleep blinders, and I have my Ambien.
Oh.
And if I need Xanax, then I'll have a Xanax, too.
Well, I'd say you're...
Yeah, I'm gonna make it one way or the other.
I think you're prepared.
Right. I don't think it's anything else that nobody else doesn't do. I mean, yeah. What are you thinking? All right. It's Mom's Day, so 2 days until. And I was looking at some things here about Mother's Day. We're talking about the rejected cards. And this is crazy. Here's what your mom wants to eat on Mother's Day. Well, guess what came in first, and guess what came in last? We'll start with last. Salad was last.
Yeah. Yeah. If you take me out for a fancy dinner, I don't want a
salad. Salad was last, but I mean, I thought mothers like salads.
Going for steak.
Number one was seafood with 26%, followed by Italian, Mexican, sushi, Greek, or something that's international. Steak was third. Mothers love a buffet, apparently. That's number four. Chicken is number five. I would think that would be higher. Barbecue is number eight. Breakfast food, seven. What? Burgers or sandwiches? Come on. That's at the bottom of the list. But I found it very interesting. At the very bottom was salad. Mother does not want to have a salad for lunch. All right. Oh, people are calling now. Are we talking about crying babies? Yes. Oh, we are talking about crying babies. All right. 808-0810. Let's go to the phone. Tina in Salinas.
Hi.
Hi, Tina.
The sound of a crying baby is a beautiful sound. Mm-hmm. And I would so much rather sit next to a parent that has a baby that is crying the entire flight than somebody who is drenched in a perfume or just body odor.
Oh, I'm totally with you on that. Yes. Why do men even wear cologne anymore? It's just a bad idea.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm with you. And then you know the other thing that is ridiculous? We can generalize about obnoxious things that people do on airplanes. We don't have to just pick on babies. How about the women who get the nail polish out in the middle of the flight?
The odors. I mean, we are all stuck in this, right, to use your term, aluminum tube,
right,
together. Yeah. Can we just stop it with all the odors and scents? it's too overwhelming. I'm thankful that I don't travel too often in an airplane for that reason alone. But the sound of a baby crying is music to my ears.
808-0810. Thank you very much. God bless you. Jen in Campbell, you're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
Hi, Drex. 2 days in a row. Nice to talk to you.
Good evening.
I am opposed to screaming babies on airplanes because when I was 29, I caught chicken pox from a screaming baby sitting next to me on an airplane.
Ooh.
I missed 2 weeks of work. I wanted to die, and my doctor wouldn't kill me because she said it was just chicken pox and I'd get over it.
Well, and how old were you when you got the chicken pox?
29.
Wow, that can be bad because, you know, I don't know what your doctor told you, but you can die at that age when you're an adult and you have chicken pox. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it's lethal when you're older.
Yeah. So now...
It was very bad.
Well, you better get the shingles shot when you hit 60.
That's for flu.
Yeah.
No, shingles is for chicken pox.
Oh.
It's the same virus.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I got that wrong.
Yeah, that's a horrible story. But do get the shingles shot. You don't want to go through that.
And then there's the shots you take so you don't come down with babies. That's an affliction I don't want.
That a tequila shot?
Oh!
Tequila,
that'll, no,
hungover shot?
I think that might actually wind you up with a few kiddos.
All right, we'll continue the conversation. And I want to talk about the ballistic vegans, the vegan civil war. Then we're going to talk about the civil war, Captain America Civil War, coming up after the bottom of the hour. But just wait to hear this story coming up here next. It's insane. Vegans go ballistic. Are you one? Vegetarian, anybody? Oh, Karen's a vegetarian. Are you vegan or vegetarian?
Vegetarian.
Okay.
I try to be vegan, but I don't succeed.
You'll have to explain to me the difference after we come back. All right, let's do that, and we'll talk about it. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810 with a look at traffic.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show
on KGO 810.
It's for you, Valerie.
Mr. Patron. We are not amigos. It's esta mayo.
Oh, apparently Karen running the board, too. Yeah.
On my head are my chones. Where the hell are my pantalones? Mr. Patron, we are not amigos. I smell like I may have bathed in cerveza. Woke up face down in salsa on a barroom mesa. I swear last night I saw a burro and he tried to take a bite of my churro. Mr. Patron, we are not amigos. Senoritas with margaritas with Patron tequila will kill you in the end. I must own that I'm grown and should have known that me and Mr. Patron, we will never be friends. Someone on Insta posted photos from the fiesta. An hombre with a Sharpie drew a wiener on my cabeza. That salsa I woke up in was not salsa. And that burro was a waitress named Alma. Mr. Patron, we are not amigos. Mr. Patron. We are not amigos.
No, we're not friends. Anybody who's ever drank too much tequila, you know what I'm saying. The next day, it's tequila. It just is.
I guess I know how to meter out my margaritas because I don't want to ever experience that. I never have with tequila.
Oh, it's horrible.
Okay, respect it.
Painful.
Respect it. Do not abuse the muse of the
liquor. And those of you who did last night or yesterday, I mean, what choice do you have? Now it's Friday night, so you just got to bang it out again.
Are we talking about drinking still?
No, not
necessarily. Or what happens after you drink.
Right. Whatever makes you feel better.
Your party.
I heard before that science says
that
banging it out will help with the hangover. Yeah. One way or the other. Okay, so let's get into this. The difference between vegetarian and vegan, since I'm ignorant and I don't know.
I believe, and Karen, you can correct me, vegetarian is simply not eating meat. However, vegan is eating no animal product, including dairy, like cheese or milk, and eggs.
Okay, so here's this story that is just trending. It's crazy. We're trying to get a hold of these people, and we might not get them until next week. Oh, well, I'm going to be on vacation. Well, Maureen can do the story.
Sure.
Pat Thurston. Okay. So there's this cafe in Los Angeles, Cafe Gratitude restaurant in L.A., at the Cafe Gratitude restaurant chain in California. And I think they have one here, too.
Yeah, the one here in the Mission District is called Gracias Madre, I think.
Okay. Waiters serve plates of vegan rice bowls, vegetable pizza, and tempa sandwiches with names like Gracious, Warm-Hearted, and Magical. Angry patrons and animal rights activists are calling on vegans to boycott the restaurant after learning that the owners have begun eating meat and consuming animals raised on their private farm in NorCal. Now, I just think this is insane. It all started, apparently, in a blog post from the woman who runs the place, or she owns it. And she posted this in February of 2015, but it went largely unnoticed until a few weeks ago when it was shared and went viral on vegan and animal rights websites. The couple is now being inundated with messages on Facebook and social media, these forums criticizing them as flesh eaters, calling them hypocrites for owning vegan restaurants, but eating meat at home in NorCal at their farm in north of San Francisco, Vacaville. Okay. Any opinion on this? 808-0810?
Yeah, it says they started eating eggs and cheese from their farms, chickens, and cows. It's very sustainable.
Well, and
it's
whatever
local,
they're eating,
theirs.
If they're eating their chicken or their cows, what does it matter?
But just maintain your own vegetarian lifestyle. That's what I do. You know, I don't
blame
the owners of the restaurants that
serve
meat.
Well, these people are going insane. It's like a ballistic meltdown, a vegan uproar. It's a vegan apocalypse.
And their restaurants are largely, they're vegan. They're still offering a vegan menu, right?
Absolutely. Yes,
so
they are.
So what's the problem?
Well, because the vegan world found out that the owners, they're calling them hypocrites because they're eating, they're eating
meat, flesh. They're eating animal.
Flesh.
They're eating animal.
Okay, so what?
Okay.
So what? Isn't it their business? 808-0810?
Yeah. Personal, professional.
Right.
And it's not like they weren't vegan for a long time. They just no longer are.
Yeah. I mean,
we need to lead by example, actually.
Leading by example?
Yeah.
You're not a politician.
Lead by example. So you would be angry? You would be angry if you went to this restaurant every day and found out that they were not vegan?
No, not at all. That's not the way to convince somebody, to not eat meat. Just lead by example.
Well, they were vegan for a long, long time, and that's why they created the restaurant. But after nearly 40 years, they decided to return to eating meat after leaving San Francisco and starting their farm. They started with eggs and cheese from the farm's chickens and cows. Then after one cow had to be put down, they decided, well, it just makes sense to incorporate the meat into their diets
because
as well.
Because you're not wasting
it. Right, exactly. So oh my goodness,
people actually left death threats.
Right.
At their, the farm, the name of their farm is called Bee Love Farm. How can you threaten somebody who has a farm that's so wonderfully minded?
415-808-0810 is the number. I mean, I'm off my hat over this, coming down on them, especially since it was posted a year ago, and then this, see, this is the problem with social media, and it gets thrown into cycles. And somebody threw it into one of those social media forums where they talk about animal rights, and it went viral. And I'm all about animal rights, for goodness sakes. God, yes. But on vegan and animal rights websites, and now they're just swamped.
You know, they say that they really treat their cows really well, too. I guess they massage coconut oil into them on the outside. So, I mean, their cows are being treated very well until the time comes where they are food. I wonder if it adds, if it's like Kobe beef. Does it add a nice coconutty flavor to the steak?
I don't know. Meat is, look at some of these awful tweets. Meat is murder. Yes, flesh eaters, just horrible.
Well, I can appreciate those who are vegan, and
that's
I understand
fine.
That this a lot of them, it's about the sanctity of life of all forms, and but yeah, maybe to be militant about it isn't really helping anyone.
Right. If you like their restaurant and what they serve and their vegan menu, you go. But to boycott and to be nasty and death threats and all of this social media uproar.
All right, barking up the wrong tree.
Exactly. Yeah. Behave yourself, people.
Yes.
Damn it. All right, let's take a break. We come back. We're going to go to Naughty Tim Sika. Oh, he's going to, do you know what? He's going to remind you. And I think Tim Sika is going to give me a lot of credit for blowing the horn, the warning siren on Mother's Day. Don't go see that god-awful movie. It makes you want to put pins in your eyes, I think was his quote. Yeah, that Julia Roberts thing that's out there with Kate Hudson. And who else was in it? I keep forgetting the other person's name. Julia Roberts and Kate Hudson. Doesn't matter. We'll discuss it next with Tim Sega on KGO 810, along with Civil War, Captain America, and a bunch of other movies that are opening this weekend. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham. Time to talk about movies. It's Friday night. Tim, you'll be very proud of me.
Yes.
Yes, during the over the entire week since we've talked, every night I made a special point to talk about Julia Roberts and that horrible movie Mother's Day that she put out with Aniston and Kate Hudson and Sudeikis. Yeah.
Yes.
And then there was the story, I don't know if you heard about this, but she, you know, we know, and we were talking about this. What did you say? It was like putting needles in your eyeballs. It was one of the worst movies you ever saw, and you've been doing this for 100 years now. So,
yeah. I couldn't get over myself how it upset me so much and how negative I was. I mean, you know, I kind of make my living celebrating movies. I like to celebrate films. That one was just so hard to get around. I just, even now when I think of it, I shudder.
Well, and here's something that you might find interesting, and maybe this is why it is the disaster that it is. Julia Roberts only worked for 4 days on the movie, and they paid her $3 million. So what does that say?
Yeah, well,
they slapped that thing together.
Well, and that also said that she's still, she's very highly paid as an actress. What is that, like something like $750,000 a day?
It is, exactly, yes.
Yeah, it's that kind of movie, though. They could do it that way because there were so many different stories going on all at once that I could see where they could have filmed her part.
But I have to tell you something. This was in the HollywoodReporter.com today. Mm-hmm. Here's the headline. Julia Roberts' box office power is in question because... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like somebody's hook for a story. You know, yeah, they're saying that her last two films, I think, weren't a big box office, but you know, this happens to everybody. She's in a dip right now, and you know, she's a little older, so she's still turning in good work. Did you see the HBO movie, The Normal Heart?
No.
She had a supporting role in that, and she was brilliant. I mean, you watched her in this role of she was doing AIDS research, and she was in a wheelchair, her character. And she reminded me anyway of why she got to be such a big star, and also what a great actress she is, you know, always was when she got the material. But, you know, if you like her, you'll like her in Mother's Day. You know, she still has that gorgeous smile. you know, she walks on the set and in a scene and she just lights it up. It's just the material was so awful.
So bad. And by the way, Money Monster opens, I guess, May 13th? I'm not sure.
Next week. Yeah, next week. From the trailers, that looks pretty good. Have you seen the trailers for that?
I have, but it just, I don't know. These guys, Clooney and her together, boy, they can't afford for this to be a bomb because they put a lot of money into this.
Yeah, they either had a big salary up front or they may have deferred some of it, you know, and got a percentage of, you know, the box office take. Sometimes big stars will do that as favors to directors, you know, just because they can afford to do it. But in a lot of cases, it benefits them because they wind up, if the movie's a hit, they wind up making more. More money in the long run because of whatever percentage they agreed, you know, they would take from the box office.
My guess is with this movie, or what is it? What is the name of it? Money Monster.
Yeah.
I would get paid up front.
Yeah.
Just from looking at the trailer.
I don't know. It could work. It could work. It looks like, it looks like a little bit over the top, but.
The collapse of Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street kind of movement. All right, we want to talk about Captain America: Civil War. That's what everybody wants to see this weekend. Here is the trailer clip.
Okay.
Captain, you seem a little defensive.
Well, it's been a long day.
If we can't accept limitations, we're no better than the bad guys.
That's not the way I see it.
Sometimes I want to punch you in your perfect teeth.
Sorry, Tony.
You know I wouldn't do this if I had any other choice. But he's my friend. So was I.
So here's how the team alliances are split. Falcon, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, and Ant-Man side with Captain America. Black Widow, War Machine, Vision, and Spider-Man stick with Iron Man.
Right. That's why it's called Civil War. It's not... you know, this is a little spoiler alert here, but history fans beware. We stay in the present. We never revert back to the 1860s. But, it's a civil war. It's this internal war going on, you know, between the members of the Avengers. The plot of this movie briefly is that there's this overseas incident, this operation involving the Avengers. It goes horribly awry. It leaves all these innocent people dead. So Iron Man... Tony Stark, played by Robert Downey Jr., he kind of acquiesces to world government pressure. He supports this plan to hold the Avengers and all their subsequent actions accountable to this panel of international overseers. And what this does is it creates friction within the group, specifically with Captain America, Steve Rogers, played by Chris Evans, who refuses to sign the agreement because he sees it as a possible infringement or an interfering with the Avengers' moving forward ability to save lives. And so his refusal to sign forces all the other members of the group to take sides and, you know, talk about conflict with a capital C, right? In a way, it's the granddaddy of all these Marvel comic book movies. It's epic stuff. In context of the Marvel Cinematic Universe franchise itself, it brings together everything that Marvel has been doing on screen for the past 10 years, and then it lays the groundwork for the next 10 in the Marvel movie universe. For that alone, I think it deserves major respect. And I'm going to give in here, despite my own reservations about these movies that are taking over Hollywood, to Mae West's assertion that too much of a good thing is wonderful. This movie is quintessential catnip for Marvel fans. It's got everything I think a Marvel junkie craves. It's got scope, it's got action scenes, it's got color, colossal special effects, and it has length. It's a long movie. But talk about bang for your buck. You know, it's all here in this movie. And all these characters, there's like 15 characters. They do this amazing juggling act where they juggle all these elements. There's all the, you know, Hawkeye and Vision and Scarlet Witch, they're all here. And to top it off, they introduce two new characters who are going to be featured in their own upcoming Marvel movies. Chadwick Boseman, very good as Black Panther, and Tom Holland, who's the new Spider-Man. He's even better. He's a teenage Spider-Man. He's kind of the Spider-Man that's in the comics. You know, he's a kid.
Sure.
So, he's great. And, the movie is pretty smoking.
Well, when you throw it all, at the wall, sometimes I wonder if you, when you do that, it's back to my, the old cliche, a little dabble, do you? That's what scares me about this movie, because they are throwing it all at the wall.
They are. I do have a caveat here, which I'd be remiss in neglecting to mention. It's just a personal note. I would love to say that it's, this Captain America movie was exciting and that I had emotional investment in it and that it was even remotely like what I consider to be a living, breathing film. And that's kind of hard to do because my own personal taste lies in other areas. And at this point, only because we're being inundated with these movies, I probably would not even seek out the latest of them if they weren't assigned to me. I would probably wait to watch them on DVD. But begrudgingly, with a little bit of kicking and screaming, conceding to the fact that I am going to concede to the fact that this movie is probably the best of all the Marvel movies to date.
You're right about Hollywood churning these over and over. So you've got DC, you've got Marvel, and you've got Disney all doing it. And at what point is there going to be some blowback from this, bad box office?
Yeah, and you're right, Drex, about it being too much. It really, if there's a flaw in this movie, is that it's exhausting to take it all in. And again, it's hard, maybe because they're comic book characters. I don't know. It's hard to get emotionally invested in all this stuff. And the technology is so strong that it's literally exhausting to watch, but it's such an achievement with a capital A that you can't dismiss it. So that's kind of where I'm coming from on it. And I did enjoy it a hell of a lot more than the previous two Avengers movies and even the last Captain America movie, which all those were good movies, but this one tops all of those in sheer scope and everything else I just said,
All right. Well, there you go. So if you're down with it, you're going to love it. All right. When we come back, we'll talk about the new Jason Bateman. He actually stars and directs in The Family Fang. And I want to talk about John Malkovich stars in a new movie that no one will see for 100 years. Wait until you hear this. I'll play it for you next, and our conversation with Tim Seeker will continue on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. And away we go. You're playing... Oh, this Sound of Music. Oh, Tim will love this story. Tim, we were talking last night, Julie Andrews.
Yes, okay. Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah,
right. Okay. Yeah, movies that were almost not made because of stupid things. And this was one of them, because when they rented the land, wherever this was done, in Switzerland or whatever, they rented the land from some crazy farmer, okay? And the dairy farmer really was a crazy guy. And all of the lights in the set and the setting up of the movie and making the movie disturbed the cows. And he was really pissed and wanted to kick them off. And it almost ruined the movie.
Yeah, there was a scene, that scene where she kind of, Julie Andrews runs across the brook when she throws the stones in there and they skip and everything. Well, that was they built that little set thing right on the farmer's property.
Right.
But apparently, he was claiming that his cows weren't giving milk. So overnight he took a pitchfork and he destroyed that. And whatever. They went back there at some point eventually and they relayed everything and they wound up filming it. I think that scene was the last shot of the film. It was the last thing they filmed, that famous opening
that's
scene.
A great story.
But that's a great story,
It is. All right, so the other movie that's opening is The Family Fang. Jason Bateman stars...
Bateman.
Yes. No, my mind is tonight. Jason Bateman stars and directs.
Yes, The Family Fang. This may have just become my new favorite film of the year. It's based on this best-selling novel, which I had never heard of until I saw this movie by the same name. The author's name is Kevin Wilson. And it's a real head trip of a movie. It's about the Fang family, who are this family of performance artists, and specifically... it's about the adult siblings of the Fang family, Baxter and Annie, played by Jason Bateman and Nicole Kidman, and who have been, how can I say this, used, for want of a better word, as props in their parents' performance pieces. And as a result, they've become understandably scarred for life, I guess you'd say, or certainly darkly impacted from these experiences, which as children trying to make sense of the world stood them on their ears and played big time with their heads. Anyway, we learn that the parents, who are played by Christopher Walken and Marianne Plunkett, I mean, Walken is as deliciously weird in this as ever, they're deeply committed to this art of theirs. It's an art that's in search, how can I say this, in search of results in these public performance places that are often as unsettling as they are arresting. And these guys are provocateurs who throw themselves into a space as if they were kind of like hand grenades, and then they wait for the disruption to occur. For example, the movie begins with the two parents staging a bank robbery with their young son, who at gunpoint, he slips one of the tellers a note telling her to remain calm and do exactly what she's told, and then they film it, and then they film the aftermath. So it's borderline subversive stuff that they're doing. Anyway, this is the world that this movie inhabits, and it's a very provocative and entertaining and poignant and sad and dark and disturbing look at the meaning of art and the notion of what constitutes great art, the damage that parents inflict on their kids. It's also a kind of a finely written treatise, if you will, about the sibling bond. It's one of a handful of really good brother-sister movies to go alongside films like The Savages and You Can Count on Me. It's beautifully adapted by playwright David Lindsay Abaire from the novel, very impressively directed by Jason Bateman, who also stars, you know, alongside a uniformly superb cast. And it's got a great tone. I mean, this movie shouldn't work because it is so off the rails and it's so weird, but it balances the darkness with humor. I sometimes wished it would have been a little weirder, more off the rails in its style, but I don't think it needed to be. I suspect everybody involved with the making of the movie knew that the audience was going to be a niche one, so they didn't really need to go to, you know, independent film crazy. But there's a quality to the style that pays homage to the mainstream. But I really like this film, The Family Fang. It's really different, but it's also kind of relatable, I think, and will be relatable to a lot of people. It opens today in San Francisco at the Sundance Kabuki. I think it opens in Berkeley, too, and that's about it in the Bay Area. Very limited release, but it's definitely worth checking out because it is so out there.
I'm a big fan of Jason. So The Family Fang, check it out. All right, I want to run this by you because this is a lot of fun. John Malkovich has just made a movie that none of us are ever going to see.
So they say.
Yeah, because it's going to be in a safe that's designed it will not be opened until November 18th, 2115.
Yeah.
It's called 100 Years, the movie you will never see. John wrote it, and it was directed by Robert Rodriguez, who did Sin City. And the movie tries to accurately predict what life will be like in 100 years, and the first people who will see it will know if he got it right.
Yeah, he's giving away tickets to the premiere, to the 2115 premiere. But of course, who he gives them to, they're going to have to put them in their will, right? To get passed
right,
down to their
right,
offspring.
Right, yeah. So
I think John Malkovich has this reputation for being a very odd gentleman. I moderated a Q&A with him once, and I interviewed him on another occasion, and he is a very unusual fellow. He comes across that
well,
way.
And, sure, yeah.
And this looks odd. This looks to me like it might, I don't know, it just smelled of publicity piece. I don't even know if it's true. And who are we ever going to find out if it's true? I mean, none of us are going to be around in 100 years.
Well, here's the preview, and this is all we get.
Part of the notion inherent in this is for us to try and imagine what the world will be like in 100 years.
Yes, it's the first time I've done anything like this, and I was intrigued by the concept of working on a film that nobody would ever see, you know, in my lifetime. I hope you enjoy my film that's 100 years in the making. I wanted it to be a work of art that is enjoyed in 100 years.
My name was John.
My name was John, right.
That is so weird. It says I'm going to read this. He says, if John Malkovich goes, he goes, if you act in a play, you never see it. I've certainly acted in a lot of movies I've never seen, and a number of them I wouldn't particularly be tempted to. Like, that's his reason for doing this. That's nuts.
Well, as you said, he's, or as I would say, a little nutty wacky. But I think that people who enjoy him like that about him, that he is an odd bird.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he's a great actor. I mean, he's you can't take your eyes off him because he always does very interesting kind of Marlon Brando type things. But they're very much his own. He's not an imitation of anybody. But, yeah, this just sounds like... Oh, this is weird. Maybe he's doing this just so people like you and me and would talk about it.
Or put it in our will to make sure. Yeah.
Yeah, really. I wouldn't mind having a ticket, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Tim Sika. So, it's Captain America: Civil War. If you love all of those things, then you're going to love the film, The Family Feud, Jason Bateman.
Yeah, great movie.
That's very good. And don't go see Mother's Day because it's god awful.
Yeah, but go see The Meddler, which is a great Mother's Day movie to go see.
Oh, yes, you did mention that.
Susan Sarandon, great, really, really good Mother's Day movie. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, thank you, Tim. Have a good weekend.
Okay, bye, Greg.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a break and we come back. Jamie Curtis opens up about her opiate addiction, and a high schooler is facing charges for exposing his junk in the yearbook. Oh, yeah, it's all kind of silliness and craziness. It's Friday night, so we will enjoy. Don't go away. The Drex Radio Show will continue as we move along on KGO 810, San Francisco, San Jose.